This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
And again, I know, want to be respectful of what you guys have to do. But we also have to be respectful of what our players are trying to do and what we're trying to do as a coaching staff. We started this thing in Miami. You know, didn't do a very good job against Oakland or Vegas, and we were able to start it against Miami. We're hoping to do everything that we can to finish the regular season really strong against Miami.
Mike Vrabel talking on Wednesday. A press conference that was mostly about off-field allegations and situations, which we discussed earlier in the show. If you missed that, you can go back and hear that conversation on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can find all interviews on there. You can find the morning show where Bradfoe and Shine were filling in. You can find the fill-in work from all week long. And you'll also be able to find the interview that we're going to have with Mike Onwenu, offensive lineman for the Patriots. He's going to join us, I think, about an hour from now, sometime around there, after they get out of practice. So we'll chat with him about Miami and everything going on with the Patriots this week. But it feels like, in talking to players down there in the locker room and talking to Mike Vrabel, that this is a full circle moment for the Patriots in a way. They won their first game of the season in Miami. When I asked players what they remember about getting that win, most of the takeaway was it was hot as bleep. It was hot as bleep, yeah. Down there. And it was a really hard fought win for them. And it was kind of where they learned to win, when they learned to win in the season. It was off the rails against the Raiders to start the year, and then they win against Miami. Now they're trying to put a bow on everything, win against Miami again this week, put themselves in the best possible position. Do you see anything about Miami that the Patriots should actually be wary of, that they should actually look at and say, maybe we won't have the number two seed? Maybe we don't have this thing exactly sewn up.
Yeah, I think it starts with Devon Achane. I mean, it's one of the best running backs in the league. Patriots run defense, as we know, has struggled a lot. We'll see if Milton Williams is back. He's been practicing. So if he's back, I think that'll help. Same thing, I think reports are, I know Patriots are practicing right now, that Robert Spillane, I think, is out there. I'm just trying to read it right now. But like, if they have Spillane and Williams, that will help. But still, that's one of the best running backs in the NFL. Your run defense has struggled. And this is a Miami team that, look, I'm not a big believer in Mike McDaniel as a head coach. I'm not a believer in the Dolphins, but they did beat the Bills. They did also beat a team that's struggling but pretty talented in the Bucs last week. So they're a team. It's not like the Jets last week.
They beat the teams that you've beat.
Yeah, but it's also, it's not a team like last week where the Jets, where you are a full level above this team. You could not play well and still beat the Jets.
No, I mean, the Jets laid down on the field for you.
I think if you play poorly against Miami, you could still win, but it would be really close. Like, it's, again, it's not a layup like last week against the Jets was.
Okay, so here's what's at stake, and a lot of it has to do with the seeding. So how the AFC bracket is going to shake out, a lot of it is outside of the Patriots' control. Of course, we all know if the Broncos lose to the Chargers without Justin Herbert, so that feels unrealistic, they can give up the number one seed, the first round bye. It's probably going to be the Broncos. It's the Broncos to lose. If the Broncos and the Jags face the 3-13 Titans, both win, and the Patriots lose, then the Jags move into the 2 seed, pushing you down to the 3 seed. But now we also see that Josh Allen is sitting for week 18. So Buffalo is seeing the Jets, as we just said. Buffalo will be led by Mitch Trubisky, who's not the worst backup that you could have facing the Jets, could still very easily win. But if they lose, then they would stay, could likely stay at the 7th seed, would travel to Foxborough for wild card weekend. And even if, regarding the Bills at the 7th seed, if the Chargers, Texans, and Jags all win on Sunday, it doesn't matter what the Bills do. The Bills are still the 7th seed. So when you hear all that, do you care whether it's the Chargers or the Bills coming to town? And does any part of you, when you see both the teams who could potentially face the Patriots as the 2 seed, if they're the 7 seed, resting their quarterbacks, do you see that as like, hey, these are 2 teams that have the cover of having injured quarterbacks? Or are they like, eh, we're okay having the Patriots?
Yeah.
If it's the Patriots there, who cares?
I think if you're the
Bills.
We're
okay going to Foxborough, by the way, and seeing the Patriots.
If you're the Bills, you look at it as we've already gone there and won, you know, earlier this or last month. If you're the Chargers, I think you look at it more about Herbert being healthy, but also that, yeah, they probably think they can come here and win too. And my thing on the 3 seed, because either way, with the 2 of the 3, you're playing wild card weekend. I think about the divisional round. I don't want the Patriots to have to go to Jacksonville for a 2-3 matchup in the divisional
round. That's interesting. Why?
More so the heat and the weather than it. Like, the Jaguars are good.
They've been unbeaten on the road.
I know, but they're arguably toughest road game was down in Miami in the heat. They've historically, and obviously this is
previous. They were fine against Tampa.
They were. But previous regimes, they've struggled at times in Florida. Now you're in January.
So you're scared of Florida. You think the Patriots are not tough enough to win in Florida in January.
Well, what would you rather have the divisional weekend? Jacksonville coming up here, or you going down to Jacksonville?
First of all, I'd rather have it here so we can cover it in person.
Well, that too. But I'm like, it's much better to have Jacksonville coming. And look, Jacksonville just went to Denver and won by 2 touchdowns. They're a good road team.
It's a good point. I'm just teasing you about being afraid of Florida.
Yeah. I've only been to Florida once. I saw an alligator.
I saw an alligator.
Yeah.
You got gators. You got bath salts.
Sick brag, bro.
Saw a manatee, too.
Yeah. I mean, hey.
Sick brag, bro.
Saw people, you know.
Wow. Yeah, I could make a manatee joke, but I'm not going to. That's very mean. So you're scared of Florida. You're scared of going down to Jacksonville. I think it's a good point that you could lose hosting the divisional round. But I maintain you got to do everything that you can to win in week 18 to keep the number 2 seed, control as much as you can control the off chance that you would get the 1 seed overall and get the first round bye, even though I think that's gone.
Also, too, one other piece of this is I want them to go into the playoffs playing well. Like, I don't want them to have kind of a whimper to end the regular season and go in the playoffs.
Yeah, because this team's very psychological.
And we've seen this year, when there's been extended rest, like they lost week one against Oakland. They lost week one against Vegas.
You did what Vrabel did the other day.
So when they've had extended rest, though, they lost week one against Vegas. Then the Cincinnati game coming off that Thursday nighter, they did not play well in the first half. May, arguably his worst quarter of the year, that first quarter. And then after the bye week, you lost to Buffalo. So they haven't done great when they've had any sort of extra rest. Like if they sit a bunch
except
of guys.
Except for Monday night, coming off the Thanksgiving week.
True, but that was only one extra day, right? Because they played the Sunday before.
Yeah, and they were off on Thursday. Yeah, sorry, so, I'm picking apart.
I'm being a jerk. But that's why, to me, also, like, even if I want the Patriots to be healthy heading in the playoffs, obviously.
Right.
I just worry about with a young team having a little too much, like, I want them to be more in a rhythm going into the playoffs.
This is a question I ask myself whenever I consider using a tanning bed. What's more important, being healthy or being hot?
I ask myself the same question.
Being hot going into the playoffs?
So does Jackson.
Or being healthy
right?
going into the playoffs?
Every time Jackson and Zach Coe use
No, but seriously,
beds,
which one are you choosing for this team? You want them to be like on a hot streak? They got the momentum? Or you want them to be healthy?
So I.
Because they've been okay being unhealthy this year.
So right now I would lean. They don't have a lot of depth. So you want them to be healthy. But because you're getting potentially Will Campbell back, you're getting Milton Williams back, you're getting I would lean towards the hot because I want those guys to be in and play. Like, I don't want Milton Williams' first game back to be the wild card round.
Sure.
I don't want Will Campbell and Robert Spillane's first game back to be, like, if all three of those guys, their first game back is, I'm not saying you can't win that game, but that does make it more difficult when these guys have been out for an extended period of time and, oh no, here they are back and it's the playoffs and a bad 5 minutes or one bad drive and your season could be over.
So here's the next point of what's at stake in week 18. And by the way, I outlined this in a little piece for WEEI.com. Great website if you ever want to visit it. It's up there. It's everything that's at stake for the Patriots in week 18. Drake's MVP campaign, we were just talking about it in the context of going up against Matthew Stafford and whether Christian McCaffrey's name being in the mix a little bit might screw things up for him. How much do you play Drake May if he's having let's say like an average game for him this season, like slightly over 100 passer rating? How much do you keep him in the game knowing that MVP is on the table for him?
I don't think that should be part of the calculus at all. I think it should be you play him until, hey, we're going to win, we're okay, take him out. Because that's the type of thing.
But what is that? You play him as you did the other day into the third quarter?
I think if you're in the third quarter and you're up by, let's say it's a three-score game, like you're up by 17, then you think about taking him out at that point. And also depending on how Miami's play. Like if Miami in the second half comes out and they fold, then okay. But if Miami comes out strong in the second half, maybe you got to keep him in longer. But I think if you keep him in just for a stat or MVP purpose, that's dangerous. Because that's when he gets hurt in garbage time or one of the receivers gets hurt because they're trying to complete one more pass for one more touchdown. So I don't want that at all. Like I think that is, whether it's tempting the football gods or whatever, like that to me, that's when somebody would get hurt.
I agree with that idea. I just don't know where the line is in this game. And I would love to hear your guys' thoughts as you prepare to watch the game on Sunday. 617-779-7937. How much do you want Drake May to play? Because part of me was watching that game last week, and I thought, shut him down at halftime. Like, he had a tremendous first half. The Dolphins are not as bad a team as the Jets are. But when he went down momentarily and Vrabel rushed out to the field, I was like, good God, like that's the only awful, awful, awful thing that could happen that would destroy this team's playoffs. So if it even, like, I don't think you should go so far as to, sit him the second half and you're losing the game. You want to win this game.
You want to win
the game. You push to win this game. Yeah. You don't need to gild the lily. You don't need to ice the cake. Like, we get it. You know, he's made his statement for MVP in a strong way this year. To your point, don't inflate the numbers. Keep them safe as you can in a game of football where anything can happen on any play.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think you want to win this game, obviously, because, again, I don't want the 3 seed. I don't want to go to Jacksonville in the divisional round because either, like, if you get the 3 seed, maybe you play the Bills wild card weekend. Maybe you play the Chargers. We'll see. But if you get the 2 seed, you're going to play one of those two teams anyway, but you know you have that divisional round game at home. And I think that matters. So, yeah, push to win the game. And then once the game is in hand, and who knows, the game might be in hand with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, or the game might be in hand with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I don't know when that's going to be.
Is that going to make people feel allergic, though? Like, aren't you going to get itchy if he's still in there in week 18 in the last 3 minutes, and it's, let's say it's a 3-point game? I mean, I don't.
I think if Jacksonville's playing at 4, right?
Right.
If Jacksonville's winning.
So you don't know yet what the outcome is.
Right. If they're winning, then I think it's okay. But let's say Jacksonville, for some reason, is losing. Then I think people start to get it. And I would start to
get it. Do you want your coaching staff to be watching that on the other side, to be saying, like, hey, we need to take this into context for what's happening?
I think I'm okay with that. In a week 18, like, I don't want scoreboard.
You don't want them to be, like, laser vision focused on themselves.
I'm okay with scoreboard watching in the second half of a week 18 game in this situation. Like, I don't want them doing it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever. But if you're in the fourth quarter of a week 18 game and you're like, oh, Jacksonville's down by 2 touchdowns, we'll be okay if we pull man. Then I'm, because you are, again, as you said, the only disastrous thing that could happen to the Patriots this weekend is if May gets hurt.
Okay, so there are incentives that are tied to contracts. If you're watching last week, you probably know that Stephon Diggs made $500,000 when he passed 80 catches. He has many performance incentive bonuses written into his contract. So he can win another $500,000 by recording 8 more catches, which would bring him to 90 total on the year, and or reaching 30 more receiving yards, which would bring him to 1,000 yards, something he's done every year since 2018, except for last season when he was cut short with the ACL tear down in Houston. Hunter Henry made $250,000 last week when he reached 55
they
receptions.
They threw him a screen pass. That was on purpose, by the way.
So he can make another $250,000 if he reaches 60. He can make $500,000 if somehow he gets 10 catches in week 18. Not totally impossible, but not likely.
Here come 8 tight end screens.
Yes. This one's interesting. I haven't seen this one reported anywhere else. Kalvon Chasen has already earned $500,000 in bonuses by passing the 5-sack threshold with 6.5 this season. If he reaches 7, so he just needs a half sack this game, he'll get another $500,000. So that's another guy who's playing for some serious extra cash. Do you think any of that should come into play? I think Vrabel will take that into account.
I think
because
he will.
Because he wants to get his players that money, that's really meaningful money.
We've already seen it, right, with Hunter Henry. They threw him a tight end screen last week to get his 55th catch. And we've seen guys do this at time. I think Carlton Davis was on a team in Tampa in 2020 that did that with Brady, that helped guys get incentives, and they won the Super Bowl, so it didn't kill them. I'm okay with it to a point. Like, if the Patriots are up by three touchdowns, do I want Ke'Lavon Chase on in with 3 minutes to go in the game to try to get that half sack? No. Because then I think that, like, that's a time.
That's where you're playing with fire.
Yeah, that's where you're playing with fire. But, like, if Chase on gets a sack early in the third quarter and then you pull him after that, like, fine. Okay. Or if you throw, like, let's say Hunter Henry's at 59 catches midway through the third and you throw him a tight end screen to get to 60, fine. And we've seen teams sometime in the past, and not always the Patriots, but when someone's as close as Chase on, they just kind of give them the incentive. Like, they rework the contract after the season and give them the incentive anyway. So maybe, look, not something they would typically do under Bill Belichick, but we'll see with Wolf and Mayo and Cowden if maybe they're willing to do some stuff like that too.
207 says, Dolphins don't want to win. They're already in draft mode. Why would they want to win? Do you guys remember what happened in Week 18 for the Patriots last year? The players knew that they had a shot at the number one draft position. And they had the number one pick overall, and they won the game.
And for Quinn Ewers, just this, if Dolphin, like, they're going to move on from Tua, I think. So this is a chance for him to say, hey, maybe you should believe in me. Is like, if he goes out and he plays horribly, it's not going to be the only piece of evidence Miami has, but then maybe they look at it and say, you know what? We're just going to draft a quarterback in the first round. We're going to try to start over. He goes out and plays really well. It's not the only thing, but then he can say, well, I beat the Bucs, and then I followed that up by playing really well against the Patriots. That's something in his, you know, for his case. So I think, yeah, maybe Miami cares about the draft pick. There's also a team that 2 months ago, Mega, were like, hey, are they going to fire this head coach?
Yeah.
Like, how long? Do you think Mike McDaniel sits there and say, oh, I can afford to lose another game? Like, I don't know about that. Like, so I understand the texter's point, but I think there's people in Miami with very vested interest in laying down.
There's always an interest in winning still, especially within the locker room, guys trying to put stuff out on tape. We're going to take a break, go to trending on the other side. We're going to discuss Bill Barnwell of ESPN put out a list that is kind of a counter to the Pro Bowl selections. We talked about the Pro Bowl selections earlier this week because I said I think that they're one point of evidence where you see the Patriots roster being pretty disrespected in terms of the talent that they have individually. And maybe you just see it as the sum is greater than the individual parts. We'll do that after trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics beat the Kings 120-106 last night in Sacramento. Jaylen Brown led the way with 29 points and 10 rebounds. Seas will wrap up a four-game road trip tomorrow night in L.A., taking on the Clippers, tip-off from the Intuit Dome at 10:30. Bruins off today before wrapping up a West Coast trip of their own. They're in Vancouver to face off with the Canucks. Puck drop from Rogers Arena at 10 o'clock. Team USA, Sweden, and Finland hockey announced their rosters for the 2026 Olympics this morning. Four Bruins will be represented in Milan next month. Jeremy Swayman and Charlie McAvoy make Team USA. Center Elias Lindholm makes Team Sweden. And defenseman Henry Jokiharju will represent Finland. Patriots on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's regular season finale against the Dolphins. Harold Landry, Kyrese Tonga, and Jared Wilson were the only three players not spotted at the media allowed portion of practice. Full injury report will be dropping this later this afternoon. College football playoff semifinals are set after yesterday's quarterfinal action. Oregon beating Texas Tech to advance to the Peach Bowl, where they'll face Indiana after their beatdown of Alabama. Ole Miss beat Georgia thanks to a last-minute field goal. They'll take on Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Megan Adelini and John Lyons with you until 2 p.m. today. We're hoping in about a half hour or so, we're going to hear from Mike Nwenu for Patriots Friday, the offensive lineman, longtime veteran, checking in ahead of Week 18 and a final showdown with Miami. As Mike Vrabel said, that's where the party all got started. Their first win of the season was down in Miami. Now they welcome them back for Week 18, and we just went over everything that's at stake for them in this week. Of course, you have all the other nonsense going on in the rest of the AFC. You have the Steelers and Ravens win to get in. Like, the fact that that's still the way that it works for a couple of different teams. I know you're looking at Panthers and Bucks as well. Like, it does feel a little bit outrageous at this point in seeding.
Is it the 49ers Seahawks is for the one seed too?
Yes.
Right? Which actually, didn't that happen last year with the Vikings and Lions?
But it's one thing to have the one seed. It's another thing as like, hey, you have one shot. This is basically a playoff game for you ahead of the playoffs. It basically, like, the NFL has created for themselves a play-in tournament for these teams.
Yeah. And one of them, Steelers, Ravens, one of the better rivalries in the NFL anyway, and now it's a win and get in. That's cool.
Okay, so as I said before we went to trending, Bill Barnwell of ESPN, he does his annual all-pro team picks. So he does best players at every position. We went through some of the Pro Bowl selections earlier in the week because I was saying I feel like it's proof that a lot of people around the league don't feel like you have arrived. And I don't really care so much about, like, national media perspective, what they're saying on ESPN shows, what they're saying on, I don't know, the Fox, FS1, whatever. Yeah. I don't even really care exactly what Bill Barnwell's full opinion on this stuff is. I'm more curious about how that reflects what other executives, teams, players, coaches think of you around the league. And I think that things like All-Pro and some of these other rewards really reflect, like, hey, we think that you're having a fun season. We're happy for you. We think you have a young quarterback who has a lot of potential, and that's really nice for you. So glad to see the Patriots back in the mix again, but we don't really take you seriously. You got a super soft schedule, and you have a nice head coach who everybody in the locker room likes, players coach, a bro. Everyone thinks he's, like, you know, the end all be all in that locker room. But the rest of the league, I think, still looks at them and goes, I mean, who's Kayshawn Booty? You know, who's, maybe Travion Henderson will be great, but he's not Derrick Henry. He's not Christian McCaffrey. Like, I do think on the defensive side of the ball, where's your pass rush? We'll get into some of the potential downfalls of this team that they need to correct before they get into the playoffs. But these different lists, I think, overall tend to reflect the rest of the league looking at you and saying, you haven't totally arrived yet.
I would agree. And I think you see this a lot of times. Like, you go back to the 01 Patriots that won a Super Bowl, they had zero Pro Bowlers that year. And I think you see it other times where teams that are kind of arriving, even 2018, when Patrick Mahomes won the MVP and the Chiefs went to the AFC Championship game, there were people that said, well, the Chiefs are good, but are they really there yet? And then they go to overtime with the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and people are like, oh, yeah, they are that good. And then they win the Super Bowl the next year, all that. But I think sometimes you see this with teams, like even last year with the Commanders. You go back to this time last year, and people are like, this is a great story. This is a great turnaround. Did anybody expect them to be in the NFC Championship game? Did anybody expect them to go to Detroit and win a divisional round playoff game? I know I didn't. So I think you see this a lot of times with teams in their first year kind of on the come up, that some people take them seriously, but the league as a whole likes to see it done in the playoffs before they really go over there. Like, even Christian Gonzalez, who's on this Barnwell team, who's on the, he's been an all pro before. And like, May is one of the MVP candidates. Marcus Jones has been a dynamic player for years. So people know about them, but beyond that, you're right. There's probably people out there who are like, you know, who is Craig Woodson? Who is Kayshawn Booty? Who, you know, who is Jared Wilson? Like, there's a lot of people, I'm sure, nationally and around the league that say that exactly.
So here's the list, as I was saying. Bill Barnwell from ESPN.com. He has Drake May as his quarterback. So you have that one just right off the bat. He has Bijan Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons as his running back. Would you disagree with that? I think
I think Bijan's been fantastic this year.
Okay, wide receivers. He has Jaxon Smith-Njigba from the Seahawks, Puka Nacua from the Rams, George Pickens from the Cowboys.
When he runs, yes.
Do you think there's any major oversights there?
Yeah, I'd probably flip Ja'Marr Chase and George Pickens just because Pickens, sometimes the effort's not always there. But, I mean, Pickens' numbers are fantastic, so it's tough to argue with that.
Tight end, he has Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals.
He's a monster.
Okay, so for offensive tackle, this one's not much of a surprise. Niners, he has Trent Williams. From the Broncos, he has Garrett Bowles. And then for offensive guard, he has Quentin Nelson from the Indianapolis Colts, who, by the way, did the Colts have the strangest season in the history of the NFL? I mean, probably not in the history of the NFL.
They looked like a Super Bowl
team. But the strangest I can remember.
Yeah.
Between, okay, they have the daughter taking over the team, and she's on the sidelines with the headsets, and that starts a whole, like, hullabaloo about like, oh, should she be there? What does it look like? Why is she so interested in what's going on with the headsets? And then they have Daniel Jones turn into Indiana Jones, and then he gets hurt, and then they bring Philip Rivers back from retirement, and then Philip Rivers retires again. It was a wacky season for them.
And there was a time Jonathan Taylor was an MVP candidate, and that was a team that was the one seed. So, and they went from the one seed to now out of the playoffs. And by the way, I'm a big supporter of Carly Ursay Gordon, too. I don't know if you read that Athletic piece about her earlier this week. Might end up being one of the better owners in the NFL in the next 5 years.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great look. Yeah. Joe Tooney from the Bears.
Just wins the division title every year in the NFL, Joe Tooney. Patriots,
Aaron
Chiefs,
Brewer
Bears.
For the Miami Dolphins. Okay, let's get into edge rusher. Myles Garrett of the Browns, Will Anderson Jr. of the Texans. I think these are all, like, pretty obvious. Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle. Zach Allen, Denver Broncos.
I will say on that, and look, Jeffrey Simmons, awesome. Josh McDaniels called him one of the best players in the NFL this year. Zach Allen's good. I wonder if Milton Williams stays healthy, he might have cracked this list.
Let's go down to corner, because that's where you have another player. You have Derek Stingley Jr. of the Houston Texans, which is the most obvious pick. Quinion Mitchell of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then you have Christian Gonzalez of the New England Patriots. Were you surprised at all that Christian Gonzalez was in here, even though he was named one of the two All-Pros that the Patriots had?
No, the surprise for me is that Quinion Mitchell got in over Pat Surtain. But like Ed Barnwell says, the Eagles play the third most man coverage in the NFL. So that factors in. Surtain missed a couple games with injury. But no, I mean, I think that goes in line with the national perspective of this team. Because if you ask somebody on a national level, what do you think about the Patriots? They're going to say Mike Vrabel, Drake May, and Christian Gonzalez. Like, those are the three guys they're going to talk. Even as good as Hunter Henry is, as good, and Stephon Diggs now with the legal situation, they will. But before this, he wouldn't have been the first guy people would have mentioned, right? Like, so as good as some of these other guys have been, it's Vrabel, it's May, it's Gonzalez. Like, those are the guys people think about.
Here's what Barnwell says about Gonzo. He says he's posted a 63.2% success rate in coverage this season, fifth best mark among regular starters. Targets in his direction have generated 7.2 fewer catches than expected. That's third in the league. He also posted a better missed tackle rate than Surtain, who didn't miss a single tackle last year, while taking six fewer penalties. It's going to be fun watching Gonzalez battle for the title of best cornerback in the AFC with Stingley on an annual basis for the next few seasons. This strikes me as a little weird because, admittedly, I do feel that there have been portions of this season where we've looked at Gonzalez and said, is he playing at his contract demanding level? Because he's going to get a huge contract.
He got beat a few times in that Baltimore
game. Well,
yeah,
Tinsley was the one that Tinsley catch was the one that, like, that's the low light.
And
reel.
Even that Thursday night against the Jets, he got beat by A.D. Mitchell a few times, and just the Jets couldn't complete the pass, but he got beat. But I think you also got to look at it. Look at the difference in the Patriots defense from the first 3 weeks when he was out to then how it's been since he came back. Because you remember those first 3 weeks, week one against the Raiders. Now, they only gave up 20 points, but when Vegas wanted to move the ball, they went right down the field. Whether it's that opening drive, that second touchdown drive, then week two, Miami had a punt return touchdown, but they still scored, 27 offensive points or whatever, went up and down the field on them. Week three, the defense played better, but still not great. I mean, it's only 21 points to Pittsburgh, but they didn't play great. And then he comes back, and you hold the Panthers to 13 points. You hold the Buffalo Bills to 20 at home. You start dominating the lesser teams. But I think that's part of this context as well. Patriots defense definitely got better when he came back.
I just think it's interesting that the story of this Patriots defense for the first half of the season was about the run defense.
Yeah.
Like, we never really talked very much about the secondary. Maybe that's on us, but I didn't hear a lot of other people talking about the Patriots secondary either. It was going into the season, wow, doesn't the combo of Gonzalez and Davis look like they're going to be awesome. And then it was, well, we hope Gonzalez can be healthy enough to get back in there. And then we never really looked at it and said, like, they're really clamping down like a lockdown corner like we used to think of. And it just makes me wonder if the if in the modern NFL, the lockdown corner just doesn't really exist anymore. And we need to rethink about how we evaluate these guys in real time, that they're going to get beat by one of these receivers sometimes. And the receiver is not necessarily going to be Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson. It'll be another guy who's a professional receiver.
And I think, though, too, I mean, has there been an instance, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that the Patriots secondary has gotten torched this year? Like, there were times last year that that Patriots secondary got lit up. And some of that was coaching, I think, too. But this year, I mean, they haven't given up a ton of big plays. They haven't had to. I mean, again, I thought the two games Gonzo was out to start the year, teams were able to go up and down the field on them. Other than that, I mean, the Bills in the second half of that game at Gillette last month is really the only time the Patriots secondary, I thought, truly got torched. And a lot of that was the run defense not stopping James Cook and Josh Allen breaking out of the pocket and making throws on the run. Like, I feel like that's the thing when you look at like guys like Gonzalez and even guys like Craig Woodson, Carlton Davis, them not getting beat is a measure of success, but it doesn't stand out as much as like an edge rusher getting sacks or running back racking up yards.
So the only other mention really on this list for any level of what Barnwell is recognizing here for his all-pro list at ESPN.com is Marcus Jones, who he has as basically a second team. So it kind of just kind of lays out exactly the way that all-pro did. Again, the people around the league and watchers from a perspective outside of our local media bubble still believe that this is a team where the sum is greater than its parts, and you have the coach and you have the quarterback, and other than that, in Christian Gonzalez and corner back there, you mostly just have like a lot of professional guys. Yeah. But that's what's making the team go.
And I think, though, that's where, like I said before, the Milton Williams injury comes in, because I think if he's healthy all year, he's either on this list or at least an honorable mention, because he was dominant throughout most of this season when he was healthy. I mean, we talked about I think the key to that quote unquote historically good run defense was mostly him in the middle. And they were playing some bad offenses, too. We got to be honest with ourselves. Like, the Titans aren't going to run the ball all over you. Neither are the Browns. Like, neither are the Saints. Like, those teams aren't going to do that. But still, them playing well, I thought he was such a huge part of that. So, I think had he been healthy, he would have been another name on this list.
When you look at these lists and you see the success that the Patriots have had this season and just projecting ahead, do you get the feeling that ownership in the front office looks at this kind of lack of recognition for the entire roster and says, we should go out and buy some big names next year? Or do you think they look at it and say, we've got the coach, we've got the quarterback, we're pretty good. Like, we can, yeah, we can keep rolling with this kind of free agency. And they spent a lot. I'm not saying that they didn't. They spent a lot in free agency, but they spread the money around outside of Milton Williams and Stephon Diggs.
Well, the thing that puts them in a tough spot is the two guys they have on this list are going to need massive contract extensions in the next 2 years, whether it's Gonzo first, then May. So you have to extend those guys. But yeah, it's interesting in that you look at this team with all the quality starters they have, but not a ton of depth. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they might bring in one big ticket item. Like, I think a big ticket receiver or tight end is in play this offseason. I think most, though, of their draft picks, and maybe a big time edge rusher, but most of their draft picks.
Okay,
and
so
signings,
you're naming like three of
no,
the
but
most
really,
expensive
it's a one, it's a pass
NFL
catcher,
okay,
and then an edge defender. So maybe two big ticket items.
They
max
need to go get a tight end. Their tight ends are in their mid 30s.
Yeah, and or they just need somebody catching them, whether it's a receiver or a tight end, that is like an A plus level or A level weapon. They don't have that. And they always have, even the years with Brady and they were good. Like, Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end of all time. They had that guy. Edelman's a Super Bowl MVP. Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP. Even Troy Brown had 101 catches in 01. Like, they've always had some type of great weapon, which, again, to their credit, they've had a great year without that type of player. But I think that's it. But I think a lot of their signings and a lot of their draft picks, it's going to be on the middle of the roster. It's going to be on that depth, because they're going to have a tougher schedule next year. They're not going to be as lucky injury-wise as they were this year. So I think that's what. So we're going to see, I think, a lot of non-glamorous signings this offseason, but we look at them in October and November and say, hey, that was a good signing. pay that pay. I think that's what you're going to see more than anything else.
1 week to go before we get into the playoffs. Patriots most likely not getting the first round bye with the way that things look like they're going to shake out between the Broncos and the Chargers. We're going to take a look at what the Patriots need to figure out this week before they get into the playoffs, where their weaknesses may lie outside of just getting healthy, getting ready to go. What are the other pieces of their game where they need to get right if they want to keep advancing after this break?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
I was really proud of Efton. He got an opportunity to actually, put into action all the hard work that he's put in throughout the year. And I thought he did a nice job with the assignments that we asked him to do, and physically went in there and battled. Obviously, he's a different skill set than Mac, but he went in there with the same intentions and unselfishness. And, I was really, really happy that he was rewarded with the touchdown.
When you have Efton, who's like 5'10", and Mac 6'4", but Efton's doing a lot of the same jobs, like in the run game, what allows him to be able to do that?
I think the heart's the same size. Those guys both work really hard to be great teammates, and they show it in the way that they play when they don't have the football or they don't even have a chance of getting the football. And so that skill set is exactly the same. You try to change up some techniques because of maybe some size differences or skill set differences, but the heart's the same.
Oh, my God. I almost cried when I heard that sound from Todd Downing. Had me in tears. Heart's the same size. Doesn't matter how tall you are. Doesn't matter how strong you are. That Efton Chisholm. He's got the heart of a champion, as the great poet Nelly once said.
That's what we say about Dan Ball here, too, right?
What?
Just the size of his heart, toughness.
Why are you talking about Dan Ball? Where's
coming
that coming
up next
from?
I'm just giving him a shout out.
He's not coming on the air for like an hour and a half.
I do want to address one thing. 860.
I can't believe you interrupted my Efton Chisholm with that.
I'm sorry.
This is disrespectful. Go on, read your text, 617-779-7937.
Someone from the 860 called me a name and was upset that I left out Randy Moss as one of the weapons. No, he's one of my favorite Patriots of all time. They just sadly did not win a Super Bowl, so I did not add him in.
You know what Randy
Still
Moss
breaks
makes
my heart
me think of?
That they didn't win that Super Bowl.
Efton Chisholm.
Oh, of course.
Going
the same guy.
Going into that game last week, I sat here on our Sunday football show, and I talked to Ted Johnson, and I said, Ted Johnson, do you think Efton Chisholm is going to have a catch in this game? And he said, no. Not only did he have catches, one great big one in which he did like some, did you see the dance that Efton did after?
The one in the middle of the field?
He did like
when he was like so excited he couldn't keep running?
It wasn't like a dirty bird dance. It was like a little Tweety Bird dance. And I was thinking, is this because he was an Eastern Washington Eagle? Like what is this?
Maybe it's that thing from the other guys when he's like, I'm a peacock and you got to let me fly.
It was almost like he was a dinosaur because he put these two little hands up and they like all, it was weird. It was like the end of Step Brothers. And there I got a little concerned. I said, is Efton going to be able to get another target after that thing he did on TV? But sure enough, he got a touchdown. I was very happy for him. Don't know if we're going to see a lot of that in the playoffs, depending on, I know like Matt Collins is out and there is that direct comparison in the question about, hey, he was filling some of that Matt Collins role. But Kayshon Booty was also out.
They're just such different players.
He went through concussion protocol, so I think Booty will be back.
I think your receiver lineup health. I mean, Hollins is out. It's going to be Diggs. It's going to be Booty, and then probably Douglas. We'll see if they mix in Kyle Williams and how much so as well. And then I think that's what you're going to get. But I could see this game coming up against Miami. You get some real Efton Chisholm snaps, kind of like what we talked about earlier. If you start to pull guys in that game, he'll be the next guy up.
I would love to see more Efton Chisholm on Sunday. One thing
what
I would
do you like
also,
better, Efton Chisholm or Peyton Pritchard?
Oh, that's like, man, what's the book, the horrible book where the Irish woman has to choose between her children?
What is that? Is it
Sophie's Choice?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what I'm saying. I mix those up with Angela's Ashes, so I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I can't choose. Efton's like so new on the scene, and he's just such an angel. Peyton's won Sixth Man of the Year. He's a starting point guard in the league now. Yeah. Like, you know, they're just kind of miles apart at this point. I'm just excited for what Efton has on the
horizon. So you're avoiding answering the question.
I'm not answering that question.
All right. Okay.
That's a question I won't answer.
Okay.
I'm actually offended that you asked me that question.
All right.
We'll talk during the break. I brought pizza in here for everybody, and you're throwing that kind of thing at me. One thing I want to see on Sunday is continued work in the red zone for the red zone offense. Now, Chris Price from the Boston Globe, he wrote a piece today about what the Patriots need to improve on before the playoffs start. The main one was run defense. Yep. That was the first point that he had, which is weird because run defense was so strong when Milton Williams was out there. Milton Williams practicing, appearing to come off IR. We're going to practice is just wrapping up as we speak now. Again, we're going to talk to Mike Onwenu next hour. Mike Vrabel will address the media next hour, so we may learn more about that. I don't know if Milton Williams returning and like getting healthy on top of hopefully Robert Spillane getting healthy is going to be like the end all be all fix for your run defense. But is it strange that I don't feel as worried about it going into the playoffs if those two guys are coming back?
And
like,
also,
am I kind of yada-yadding past that issue?
Well, and I also think if Kyrus Tonga is fully healthy, right, too, because those are, you know, you could make the case your three best run defenders this year, Milton Williams, Spillane, and Kyrus Tonga, all have been dealing with injuries, have been missing games. So if all three of them are back, then I think you can feel better. And I think what is also important about trying to have them back this weekend, Devon Achane's a real test. Give them a real test because you might play James Cook in the wild card round. And if not, you're going to play a Chargers team that, I don't know, with Jim Harbaugh, I wouldn't be shocked if they find a way to run the ball well in a wild card game. So I think it'll be better with those guys back, but I'm not like totally glossing over it.
So I said red zone offense is something we want to watch for on Sunday. That's the second point that's highlighted here. The red zone offense for much of the season has just been unacceptable.
Yeah, they're 22nd
and
in the league right
now. Last week, they're 5-for-5 against the Jets, but we all watched that game. Like, the Jets were unacceptable being on the field in that game.
They had a defensive end covering Stevenson on that touchdown
pass.
They
were horrible. So it's hard to feel like they've solved all the problems. Interesting wrinkle they threw out in the first half against the Bills when you see Drake May actually in some designed runs.
Yeah.
In the red zone, something that we really haven't seen him do a ton of in his entire career so far. I think he still has work to do on the actual keeper, the quarterback sneaks scenarios. But how are you feeling about their red zone offense here today? Because I actually think that maybe the red zone on either side is the weakest part for this team.
Yeah, and I don't see a path for it to get much better. Like, May running the ball will help a little, but this goes back to our discussion last segment. They don't have that A-plus level weapon in the pass game, and that sometimes puts a ceiling on your red. Like, that's where it shows up, is in the red. Think about all the times over the years you knew Edelman would get open in the end zone, or you knew you could throw it to Gronk and he would pull it in, or Moss or any of those guys. You knew those guys would get open. Even back in the day when it was like Ben Watson, like, you knew this guy would find a way to get open. They don't have enough guys like that. Even remember the Cincinnati game?
Why isn't Hunter Henry that guy? Hunter Henry was
that guy
with Mac Jones.
He had 9 touchdowns that year in 2021. But
the same offensive coordinator. Like,
right.
Why isn't Hunter Henry a red zone weapon?
I just don't know if he's that
Mac Hollins
guy.
Was that guy
Hollins,
for the Bills.
And Hollins, I think, I was hoping for, like, he's been good this year. I was hoping for a little more in the red zone from him this year. So
Sean McVay would have this red zone figured out.
Yeah, but he's got Puka Nacua to throw to.
No, I'm saying with these guys.
I don't know.
Sean McVay would have it figured out.
I don't like. I think that's where they're a player short. Like, at the top of the roster, that's where. Like, can it get better? Yes. Can they run with May? And I do think they're going to run.
Stephon Diggs has 2 touchdowns this year.
And I also think
that's it.
Like, that run they had with May against the Bills, where they went empty formation. He just ran. Like, that's going to help. Like, they'll do things like that, and it'll help them. But is it going to move them from 22nd to 10th? Like, no. Like, it'll get better, but I still think that's, like, you're a player short. And their offensive line sometimes in short-yarded situations isn't good enough. Like, how many times did they try to run the ball against Cincinnati from the one, and they just couldn't get in? Like,
yeah, that was
painful.
That was an embarrassing sequence.
That was painful.
We all remember that.
Yeah.
That will be a blemish on
but even
Josh
on,
McDaniels' fantastic
But even
care.
On that one, he got 2 guys open, and Mac Hollins committed a bad penalty on the Hunter Henry touchdown, and then Kayshon Boutte was open and then got held. So, like, and even in that sequence, and I'm not absolving McDaniels, but it's like, you ran with Stevenson, you ran with Henderson, you ran up the middle, you ran outside, you did a rollout, you did a pick. Like, what else do you want the guy to do? in situations. Like, that's why I say I'm not absolving him completely, but that's where I just think there are guys short at the top of the roster.
We got to pay some bills after this quick break. We are going to reset our big thoughts coming out of a very newsworthy week. Mike Vrabel's message to the media on Wednesday, if you missed it, what he said, my feelings about the context around the way that the Patriots have been handling the allegations against both Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore. We're going to continue looking at Week 18 and beyond, and we'll be joined by Patriots offensive lineman Micah Nwenu after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.